I think this is a little bit directional, so I'm hoping that'll work okay. It's good to see each and every one that's here this morning. His brother Roger had expressed this morning. Also, it was really appropriate, the song that we just sang, because we want to touch on that a little bit in our thoughts this morning. Hopefully, no one was thinking that when I put Beware Lest Thou Forget, that I was talking about the order of services, as is further down on the board. But I have been reading through some of the Old Testament scripture, and I wanted to share some thoughts that I had from my readings this morning. So if you remember in your review of the Old Testament scripture, it was over in Deuteronomy, the 5th chapter in verse 1, that we're told that Moses called all of the children of Israel together, and he spoke to them these words. He said, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and the judgments which I speak in your hearing today, that you may learn them and be careful to observe them." As we progress in the chapter, we're reminded of the covenant that God had made with his people and how he had brought them out of the land of Egypt. Then the scriptures speak of what has we've come to know as the Ten Commandments, and how God spoke to Moses out of the fire on Mount Horeb. And then Deuteronomy 5 in verse 32 says, "You shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess." In the first portion of chapter 6, there's a very familiar place that many of us are acquainted with as it relates to us internalizing God's commandments and how the children of Israel were to go about teaching these things to their children. And then, beginning in chapter 6 and verse 10, and this will be the focus of our lesson this morning, Deuteronomy 6, beginning in verse 10, it says, "And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." Other scriptures, instead of using this beware lest you forget, we'll say remember and forget not. But as we know, the children of Israel just seemed like they continually were wandering away from God. He would remind them of what he had done for them to free them from their bondage and to care for them and to bless them. But eventually God would punish them as they would stray away from him to other images, inanimate idols who would neither be able to bless them or curse them, grant them life or hope. Upon being punished, the children of Israel would turn from having sinned and broken their covenant with God, and the cycle would repeat again and again, as it has throughout the course of time. God was continually having to remind them, or to cause them to remember, not to forget. Who was the source of their blessings? Don't forget. Who was the creator and sustainer of life? And in whom it was that they might continue to have a hope of these blessings? Isn't it true, brethren, that when we sometimes view the children of Israel with a critical eye, that we, the children of God, according to Galatians 3 and verse 26, heirs according to the promise, Galatians 3 and 29, are sometimes not so different from the children of Israel and that we sometimes forget. We fail to remember and have to be reminded who we are, who it is that we belong to and have committed our lives to, who it is that we serve, to remember the source of our blessings and the price that was paid so that we might have hope. God knew that the children of Israel would sometimes be tempted to forget and not to remember. We read about men and their great faith and some of their acts of greatness in the scriptures. However, those great men would many times have less than spectacular parts of their lives that were just less sensational, if you would, where they fell down and where they failed to remember. This morning, let's review a couple of instances where that was the case. That was the case for David's son Solomon over in 1 Kings, the 3rd chapter and verse 3. It says that he loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David, his father. There was a night that the Lord came to Solomon in a dream, and he asked him, "What shall I give thee?" Solomon responded like this. He said, "Give me an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil." Not only was Solomon blessed with what he had asked God for, but God granted him riches beyond compare. God told Solomon that because he had asked for understanding that he might discern judgment and had not asked for length of life or riches or the life of his enemies, he would give him all of these things if he would follow his statutes and his commands. 1 Kings 3 and verse 12 says, "Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast asked, both riches and honor, so that thou shalt not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days." We learn from a further study of the life of Solomon over in 1 Kings the 11th chapter in the first 10 verses that he had a love for many strange women. And what that means by strange is that they were women of nations that the children of Israel were commanded not to have anything to do with. They weren't to go into them. They weren't to allow them to come into them either. And the reason given is that these women would turn away their hearts to their gods, little g. This is exactly what happened. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that his heart was not perfect with the Lord, his God, and that he burned incense and sacrificed to the gods of these strange women. The Lord God, capital G, was angry with Solomon because he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Solomon chose something over God, and in so doing, he forgot the source of all of his blessings, and that our behavior is a reflection of our gratitude, our loyalty, our commitment. You can't serve God while worshiping idols and images. God gave Solomon greater wisdom and discernment than any other because he had asked for that. And then he went on to grant him so much more, including length of days if he would walk in God's ways, keep his statutes and his commandments. Everything was all good. How do you get better than that? But Solomon forgot these things in pursuit of his own lusts and desires. Think about, if you would, the parable of the rich or the foolish rich man that we find over in Luke, the 12th chapter. Beginning in verse 16, it says, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? And so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. We sometimes forget who's in control and become arrogant about how much control that we have when everything's all good. When everything was good, the rich man had a mind to take his ease, and to eat, drink, and be merry. But what he forgot was to acknowledge where his blessings came from and to give thanks for those blessings and to acknowledge that without God, there were no riches, there were no blessings, and he couldn't have nothing. Over in Luke, the 17th chapter, we're told about 10 lepers. Now, this is not a parable. As Jesus passed through Samaria and Galilee, we're told that he entered into a certain village where there were 10 lepers, and they shouted at him from a distance. They said, Master, have mercy upon us. And what he told them was that they needed to go show themselves to the priest. And it says, while they were on their way, they were cleansed. One of them turned back and they glorified God with a loud voice. And the Bible says that he fell down on his face and he gave thanks. And Jesus said, weren't there 10 of you? Where's all the rest? We aren't told what happened to the other 9, but we are told that Jesus said to the one, arise and go your way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. So what do you think happened? After Jesus healed these men of their leprosy, and by the way, I've seen this, it's a terrible disease. When everything was good, 9 of these men forgot. They failed to remember who had mercy on them when they pleaded with him for it. They failed to remember to give thanks to the one who had healed them and given them health when there was little hope for anything better. It certainly hasn't been my intent to present these examples of how men have forgotten God over the course of history with a puffed up or arrogant attitude, as if we have never been guilty of, when everything was good, that we forgot or we failed to thank or acknowledge God for having blessed us with his unfathomable love and safekeeping. God knew that men were prone to forget. And I think that's why he blessed us with a way to remember why it is that we have hope. This morning we came together to observe the Lord's Supper as we've done for so many years. Every Lord's Day, as we observed this earlier in our worship, Jesus' words should have echoed in our minds, this do in remembrance of me. Maybe what we have always known as a freedom now will be valued more as a blessing. What a blessing that the Lord himself commanded a time for me to remember. Everything isn't always as good as it could be, or as good as it has been. You know, the way that we might value worldly things, but they are so much better than they could be or they could have been. We don't want for the necessities of life, and quite honestly, we're blessed far beyond the necessities of this life. When we prepared to come to church this morning, it appears that everybody had a pair of shoes to put on and clothing for themselves. When we go home, when we leave this place today, we'll probably all go home and we'll have a bite of something to eat. We will always, no matter how bad things seem, or no matter how bad they get, we will always have something that we ought to remember to be thankful for. Let's take the time to count our blessings and to remember the Lord, not just when something bad happens, as we sometimes will, or when our freedoms are threatened, but when everything is all good. You know, I remember times when I haven't remembered as well as I should. Because when things aren't quite so great, we are fervent in our prayer. Maybe not so much when we get granted those things that we pray for. Maybe it's not the first thing that we think of is to say thank you. But we ought to. We're the children of God, and that ought to be our mind. And when we have eaten and we are full, let's be careful not to forget the Lord and all that He has done for us. Remember that this life is only temporary, and our longing is for a far greater reward. This concludes the thoughts that I had this morning. I hope that I've said something that's helpful. We would never close this portion of the worship service without offering the gospel invitation. If there's one here who has never obeyed the gospel, we understand from our study of the scripture that you must hear the word of God. Upon hearing the word of God, you must believe that. You must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That you must repent of your past way of life. That is to put away the old man, begin a new life in service to God. Confess your belief in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and be baptized for the remission of sins. God adds you to His church. You will become a child of His. If there is one who has once taken these steps and fallen back into sin, done something of a public nature, or would desire the prayers of the faithful, we'd be happy to pray with you and for you as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.